Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Giant Conversations number 2. Hi, Tommy.
Hey, Oliver.
Yeah.
I didn't know if this was going to be number 1, but I guess it is number 2 technically.
Yeah, exactly. I think we had that last time.
Yeah.
But this one, people, is a KubeCon special. This time, we are making sure that everybody knows what to do at KubeCon and where to go and how to travel and what's happening and what parties and so on and so forth. But we'll start with a special jingle that Tommy got made, as he promised last time, and kick it off. Welcome to Going to KubeCon, our pre-KubeCon podcast. So wonderful.
That's right.
It's so Paris-y.
That's what I was going for. I looked up a couple of different ones on YouTube and I sent it off to Fiverr and not plugging them exactly, but I'm very happy with the product from Sri Lanka.
From Sri Lanka.
That's right.
Very, very good. And we already have another one by a colleague that will be following shortly, even though I don't know how many ones I will now get into production on Fiverr because I got the bug from you. But we'll see. It's fun. But we have a few things to talk about. And I welcome everybody that has listened to the last one and is now coming to this one. And I hope this will be shared far and wide to everybody going to KubeCon. But we'll start with news first. So we got to KubeCon in a bit, and we'll try to keep the news bit short. But I have to get a coffee first. Sorry, at least we're not eating. First one we have is like actually two posts around VMware. That will also be an interesting conversation at KubeCon. We're having interesting conversation with customers also around bare metal and Carpi and stuff. So VMware, actually there's one post by somebody who said like one of their customers or friends got a license increased from 8 million to 100 million. Mm-hmm. That's what everybody is kind of afraid of. But our own VMware solution architect Xavier shared a research note from Moore Insights and Strategy, which is a bit more positive. And we wanted to share that too, because they're really aligning products. They're really aligning licensing. It's not going anywhere and so on and so forth. So I think all that hype needs to die down a bit going forward. So
yeah,
we'll
these
see.
Things take time. I mean, same thing happened with Microsoft and Azure quite some time ago. And people, I guess they need it right now, but it's going to take months for them to get everything aligned.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll just take time. We need to relax a tiny little bit. We'll see. We'll see how this goes. And as we already mentioned the word Carpi once, and expect some news from Giant Swarm at KubeCon around Carpi, there's a new CNCF contribution view, and we actually congratulate our own Marcus, which is in lead for Giant Swarm with 121 contributions in 12 repositories, and Jose not far behind with 102 contributions in 11 repositories. So it's really nice seeing Giant Swarm up there contributing back to Carpi with all the knowledge we built over the years. So that's very cool to see. Good view on who's contributing back to open source.
Mm-hmm.
And contributing back, as we said last time, is important.
Yeah.
We also got a link from our Swarm Malicious around Cloudflare open sourcing Pingora. Okay, that not Kubernetes, but it's a fully async and multi-threaded framework actually for building HTTP proxy services. For the tech-minded, there's a link in the show notes that can read through it, and they're really working with the Internet Security Research Group on Project Proximo. To just make our infrastructure like secure and performing well. And we all have to admit, like, Cloudflare is big and they handle a lot of traffic, and they're becoming like a core infrastructure of this wonderful internet we so love.
So the that project, before it was open source, they were claiming 70% less CPU and 67% less memory usage. And that was back in 2022, Powell had mentioned that. Mm-hmm. And so I went online to check it out, and that is pretty much the description of everybody who's talking about this product. So I don't, those are just, I don't know if that's the height or the average, but everybody says the exact same thing. 70% less CPU, 67% less memory.
And that is
a big claim.
For a crucial thing, for a lot of traffic, that's an important item. But yeah, I mean, if you're building an infrastructure with, I think they have hundreds of smaller data centers by now, they kind of need to watch their resources. So yeah. I get the point. At that scale, it makes sense. We also wanted to touch back on Weaveworks because like the day after we recorded, Alexis posted an update about Weaveworks and Flux, and he's very happy to report that most of the team has already found a new job, which is great. Talented people that we always say like they will find new jobs. That's I always say that's the good one about this internet startup thingy. Like we don't have to worry about our employees if like shit hits the fan, they will all find a job. And they're working on different things now, and the entire Flux thing and other tools are really becoming community focused open source projects, which at the end is also good. Right. And there's actually a longer post also by GitLab, who is pushing their continued support for Flux, which is good to see. We are also obviously still supporting Flux. So it's really cool to see this move into companies that are not using Flux as a mean to make a profit, but using Flux as a core infrastructure and making profit in another way, like GitLab, for example. Mm-hmm. So that's very cool to see. I have a last one, which is actually Trivi added KBOM, vulnerability scanning to Kubernetes. I'll talk about this likely next week because at the moment might change in short notice. I'll have Zach here, who's leading our security team, to talk a bit about security. But in general, SBOMs are software bill of materials, and KBOMs are Kubernetes bill of materials.
Very clever.
Okay, I'll have to talk to Zach to understand what the real difference is. But I know that security and Kubernetes is an interesting field. Lots of interesting companies in there. Lots of interesting talks to the customers. Obviously, security was always an important thing for us with the critical stuff we run. So we're really watching closely. Mm-hmm. And that concludes our news part. That was a bit shorter. I have a fun bug of the week at the end of this podcast, which we always put at the end. But that seems to have found a liking with people that we have a bug of the week. So we'll try continue doing that.
Yeah, we got some good feedback after the last podcast about that one specifically.
Yeah, so we'll try to keep that up. But let's first move to rejects. Like, because rejects is the one that is before. So rejects, talked about this last time, is the kind of pre-conference, 17th to 18th of March. Schedule is packed. Tickets are free. And Marcos and Lukasz are talking, as we said last time. Lots of Giant Swarm people will be there. And we only hear good things. But the important part is KubeCon.
Yeah, we've rented an Airbnb for those fellows to be there. They're flying in from different places. They're also taking trains, so they're going to be there early. What's nice about that is they often get a lay of the land before they get there, and so once we're there, then they can point us in different directions on what's going on. So I like that part of it personally, especially in Paris.
So really, at least go like at least on the second day, on the 18th, go to Reject to like meet first people. You can also check those off and meet them during the day, but you have those off your list for making sure you talk to them, and you can concentrate on others on KubeCon. KubeCon is March 19th to 22nd. I assume everybody knew that because they're going. So really, it's at Paris Expo Porte de Versailles. We have a lot of links in the show notes, but we'll go over many of them. In general, let's start with travel a bit. So if you're coming by train, you can actually take the line 12 from the train station to Porte Versailles, and you're there. That's where the conference is at. It opens up at 8 to 9 pretty much every day. I didn't fully check the schedule, but they're saying it like things start at 8 or 9 every single day. So Paris-Montparnasse train station is like 4 kilometers away, takes 15 minutes by car, 24 minutes with metro and walking, but you're all close. And the metro system is good, so use the metro system.
I would agree. You know, you can also you can get scooters, but we were talking earlier, it doesn't seem like the best product to hop onto. They also have a really cool bike sharing, but with 20,000 available bikes, they have docking stations, so it's not like the ones where you can just park it anywhere.
But I think that's why they banned the scooters, because they were lying anywhere. Theoretically, I think you can get a scooter from a scooter rental shop or something. That still exists, but standard scooters, you know, from everywhere else don't exist. But you can get the bikes. You just need to put them back into their docking stations. If we looked at the site, and in general, there are 20,000 self-service bikes and 1,464 docking stations. You found that it's like 300 meters to the nearest docking station most of mm-hmm. the time, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah. Personally, I mean, I'm walking and taking the trains. I mean, that's all part of the culture anyway. When you're walking, you can see the facades, you can walk by cafes, you can hear the language, have a good time on the trains. You can really get a feel for the different city and the layout and the infrastructure. For me, on a bike, it's a big possibility that I'll get hit by a car or a train or hit something. So I typically stay away from those modes of transportation.
Yeah, especially maybe not after the party or something. But yeah, we get to parties in a bit. There's a longer FAQ about health and safety and things for KubeCon on the site in general. Maybe the important ones, where's the event taking place? We already said so. There's different menus there. Remember, food at KubeCon has never been good. So if you have never been, don't expect a lot.
Yeah, and you're in France too. So you can always just step outside. We've got we have a couple of recommendations we'll get to in a second. I do want to go back to the schedule though. KubeCon has personally one of my favorite schedule layouts, especially when it comes to the showcase floor where people go in and go to the booth and gather swag and network. There's a lot of networking going on and finding out what the new technologies are and just having great conversations. What's great is that, yes, it does open at 8, but that it opens up with keynotes almost every single day. So really, from 8 to 10, it's predominantly keynotes. So if you're out at a party and you're just out way too long and you wake up the next morning, you can tell by when people walk in how comfortable that they are, that they really haven't missed much, not downing the keynotes. But nonetheless, if you're looking at like an educational point of view and you want to get to know more about the software or about the projects that are going on, you can just lollygag in at 10:30 and be right with everybody else. And that's what I really like.
You can lollygag in.
Yeah, just kind of walk on in, strut in, talk to your buddies about the night before, and then get your networking, and then get in, have a banana or a bite to eat or something, and then go in and see some of the other talks. So it's a comfortable conference. Now, Tuesday is a very long day. Wednesday. Yeah,
Wednesday and Thursday. A long day. Yeah. And Wednesday it's starting at 9, so you're fine. Mm-hmm. Thursday it's starting at 8.
But again,
no, the first keynote is at 9. So I think you're fine arriving at 9. And you're fine arriving a little bit later if you have to. if you have like really special needs for food, I think you would have needed to register beforehand, but there will be vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free mm-hmm. stuff will be available. You can theoretically book childcare if you want to, but that's also like theoretically a month in advance. You'll have to see, but you can bring your kid. They're just nicely stating Cloud Native Con and KubeCon is a professional conference. If you'd like to bring your child to a session or two for a special reason, we will allow an exception. Very nicely put.
Yeah.
American conference.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So that's cool. Already hit the travel back through our show notes. We're actually 21 Swamis attending mm-hmm. the conference. Where will we be? Guide us through our attendance, Tommy.
Sure. So first off, we talked about swag last time. And so any one of these 21 Swamis, you'll see us. We'll be wearing all different kinds of shirts and swags and hats. We've got all kinds of great stickers. We'll be at booth K11. The easiest way to find us is it's one of the prettiest booths, kind of biased here. It says Smarter.
Without platform. Even knowing all the other booths, you're
I've
already
seen
saying
the other booths. Blue background. They use Impact or Comic Sans. Okay, kind of joking there. But anyway, it's Smarter Platform Engineering, and we're saying creating environments with growth. And we have a great screen up. I guess I'm getting it too much into the marketing part. I'll back off a little bit. Come visit us at K11, please. We are giving away 2 Flipper Zeros. And I was like, yeah.
Well, that's again the hype thing. I remember when we took the photos here and like put them in the office and said like, this is what we're giving away. Like everybody was, can I have one? Can I have
exactly.
one? No, like giving away at KubeCon. Sorry.
When we brought them to Chicago, a couple people asked if they were legal in the United States, and I just didn't answer. I was like, just take the survey, please. But I looked up the Flipper Zero to find out what kind of things it does. I mean, it has all the ports. It's pretty much a hacking device. And I was like, well, I'll just list some of the things it does. All the things it did, I was like, well, that you shouldn't be able to do that. No, not with a credit card, with somebody's keys, unlocking garages. So anyway, we're giving away 2 of those at a hacking conference in Paris. So I'm excited about that. That's part of it. We're going to have great shirts. We got all kinds of great colors with the shirts. We even have Marcus, the guy who's talking at Rejects. He's one of his hobbies, one of his many hobbies, is he likes to print stickers. And so he also kind of brings his own unbranded stickers that are specifically around Kubernetes and the entire environment, where ours are naturally Giant Swarm specific. But they're all free. We're going to have hundreds of them there. So looking forward to that.
And we are staying at, or many Swamis are staying at the Oceania Paris Porte de Versailles. So really close. Yep. And it says Porte de Versailles. I assume that it's close. And the others are staying at an Airbnb in Malakoff, mm-hmm. suburb southwest of Paris. So if there are others around Malakoff or others in the same hotel, hit Giant Swarm people up. You can stay the entire night at the bar.
That's right. Or heck, on our floor. I mean, my roommate Xavier is... He's sitting back. He's like, what are you talking about? No. He's from the area.
Okay.
And so I've got
a So we have a few professionals in there. He actually also gave us a few tips. So we're still following through. We even have for those waiting for those, we have sightseeing tips. So we're well prepared here.
Oh yeah.
But because we already started with the drinking idea in the sure. bar, let's go to the parties. And there's actually that's why you understand that it's an important part. There's a special section in the KubeCon website about the parties. Mm-hmm. There's a special website, and we're obviously trying to check them out. You looked at a few of them more specifically, right?
I did, yeah. I typically don't sign up. I don't want to take the space. Also, oftentimes when marketers sign up, they say no. That's true. So if our group does go in, I try to get in one way or another. But the ones that I looked at were, there's the Kubaroki Spring Party. And I'll would definitely get up there and sing, I don't know, Def Leppard, Pour Some Sugar on Me. Personally, that's my favorite. I was going to say Kubaroki song. The other one is at the House of Cube, and this one is Bird. They claim it's a pop up party. So if you sign up, they don't tell you exactly where it is. They'll let you know on the day of or the day before, and it is a pop up Berlin techno party.
Okay.
Yeah. Seems a little involved. I think it sounds awesome, but I'll have a mic in my hand singing Pour Some Sugar on Me. And the last one we've got is
the Cube Train Party.
The Cube Train Party at the Fitzroy restaurant. So that will probably
But that be must a, be a big restaurant.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Or just a much nicer party.
Okay. Yeah. We'll see. We'll also have, I think we have one, two, I don't know, restaurants booked for lunch. So mm-hmm. If you have a reason to talk to us, like now, not everybody come around. Yeah, right. If you have a reason to talk to us, want to have a good time, figured out that the food is bad, you might be able to join us over lunch in a restaurant nearby that is pre-booked by us. We did that last time. It's a wonderful idea. It's a wonderful idea to have nice conversations. We actually, I remember like with an old company, like, three companies back. When we went to a conference, we actually just built a meeting room. Like we closed off, like our entire space was closed off with a tiny desk. You could talk to people. And then in the back, there was just a nice Chinese vibe meeting room.
Really?
We got a bit of complaints from the organizers because they said like, okay, you're not supposed to do that. But that was also a nice idea. But yeah. Also, party-wise, I found yesterday there's the Kubernetes LAN party, which is actually done by Viz or people from Viz, which is a CTF designed to challenge your Kubernetes hacking skills through a series of critical network vulnerabilities and misconfigurations. Challenge yourself. It's a website though, but you can mm-hmm. challenge yourself there and probably talk to a few security people. So
yeah, that I jumped on and I actually broke it more.
Okay. You broke it more. That's good. I did. That's good. I would have like, that would have been so, I would have expected like somebody needs to do that. Somebody needs to rent like an extra hall at the expo mm-hmm. and do a real LAN party. I mean, we have the right kind of people there. Just imagine Counter-Strike, Doom, I don't know what, you know, a real LAN party happening at KubeCon. So I think not happening yet. Maybe the shooting idea is also not a good idea. Even
yeah, that's true. Maybe we'll do it with like Mario Kart or something a little more tame.
Mario Kart. Yeah, Mario Kart races would also be good.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So you'll have fun at KubeCon. So there will be parties. There will be people to meet. Everybody will be out and around. There will probably be WhatsApp groups and Telegram groups and I don't know what groups to organize a bit. And I'm looking forward to seeing lots of photos. So let's move on to what to do in Paris. We'll start with like general food and beverage and stuff like that. And there are links in the show notes again to figure all these things out. For our American guest, service compris in restaurants means the tip is included. You don't necessarily need to tip. Normally you tip, but you don't need to do the standard 10, 15, whatever percent you do in the United States. And for those from the United States, there is a Five Guys in Paris, or I think even two. I needed to mention that because I was just in Paris recently.
It's a good burger.
Yes, it is. I haven't been because we ate in French restaurants, but right, yeah. it was nice knowing. And I thought that's very important for the Americans that get up, fed up with all the French food.
Yes, thank you.
So Xavier, your roommate, actually mentioned some cool spaces. So a speakeasy and bars in Paris. There's Moonshiner behind the Davitos. You have to go through a walk-in refrigerator in the back of the restaurants.
Yes. This is the whole speakeasy scene in the US is pretty big, but it's typically out there. Like it's a speakeasy, but you just walk through the front door.
What does speakeasy stand for?
a speakeasy is something you don't talk about, and it was specific to the Prohibition times. So if there was a storefront, maybe a general store or a pharmacy back in times when alcohol was illegal, they would have a back door that people could have a certain knock or have to have a code, and they could get in and drink. And you would speak easy about it. It's kind of like the first rule of speakeasy is not to speak about it kind of thing.
Ooh, I know. First rule of Fight Club.
Yeah, had to. So the Moonshiner looks like a really cool one. And it's we've got a link that says Behind DeVito's. And I was like, all right. So I clicked on it, went to DeVito's Paris and looked it up. It's literally the pizza menu. And then I said, well, that can't be it. And then I looked a little bit deeper and I saw that, yes, you just have to go in, go to the walk-in refrigerator and open up and go in there. And I was like, oh, that'd be so cool. But what if it's not right? You know, all those, all the pizza, French pizza guys.
Thousands of CubeCon people opening the refrigerator. Why did we not make up a restaurant, Tommy? You could have made up something and everybody walk into some refrigerator.
I just can't imagine everybody yelling at you while you're trying to walk into their walk-in fridge in the back. It's like, oh, no, where's the beer?
Yeah, okay. I mean, we'll see if this, like, we're going against the speakeasy thing now. But I think that is known. I mean, there have been Instagram posts and whatnot about it.
Sure.
So, but tips from Xavier. First good tip about restaurants. Avoid restaurants with large menus and pictures of food.
Et voilà.
Et voilà, c'est tout. La Felicita, a big food court with different restaurants. That's probably a good idea for the CubeCon people because you'll be lots of people in different restaurants.
Right.
Cool industrial vibe. So that's, I think, a good one. Chez Pietro is recommended by Parisian friends. Amazing pizza place.
There you go.
Peruvian restaurant Amazonas, 5 minutes walk from the exhibition center. Via del Gusto is 10 minutes walk and an Italian. Le Petit Dallas is 15 minutes and a Korean one. And tip from me, you can go to the Champs-Élysées and have a coffee. Just be prepared to pay through your nose. It's just like double the price from a side street.
Is it beautiful though? I mean, is it really, would you pay that 50 to 100% more and just sit back and be like, yes, this is worth it.
Worth it is a very relative case.
Okay,
I think we were five people. We all had a sandwich, a Coke, and I think we had two coffees and we paid 120 euros or something. You know?
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
No, yeah. Is worth it is overdoing it, but it was nice sitting on the Champs-Élysées, but it's not needed. So really, and the thing is also from my time in Paris last year, if you look at prices, watch for drink prices. The food prices are normally fine, but you can iterate between like 4 euros a beer and 12 euros a beer. And that kind of adds up. So when we went to one restaurant, hugely expensive, and it was the drinks, food was fine, and the other one where drinks were okay, and you just need to walk around. But we have a few suggestions, big food court and a few ones near the venue, so I think there's something to do. And then obviously just follow the crowd, meet people, and you'll figure out a restaurant.
Right.
I just like the big food court idea because if you go there with like 20 people and the next 20 people follow you and the next 20 people, you need a lot of space.
Exactly. What's also nice about that is everybody kind of gets what they want. And if you go to a big food court and somebody wants to pop over here or there, then you can just meet back at one place. I'll definitely be going there.
Yeah, exactly. So we wanted to finish up the tour of Paris with some sightseeing suggestions. So for those going a bit early or staying a bit longer or wanting to see something, and I did all of them, almost all of them. I'll come to the end what I didn't do. But in the end, it's nice. There's a hop on, hop off bus in several locations. It's called Big Bus Tours. You get a ticket kind of for the day and then you can hop on and hop off and drive around Paris and see sights and like leave everywhere and look at different things. So that's nice, but it's like, it's if you want to go around for a day. You can also get to the Tour Eiffel, obviously. Tour Eiffel Tower, whatever.
I'm an American. I'm going to say it wrong.
Yeah. And you can get up if you want to take the elevator. You probably need to book now, and that's probably even too late. You can normally get there and just walk up, but I would also suggest using the app or using the website to pre-book your ticket at a certain time to get up. There are two different floors you can get up to. You can't easily get up to the restaurant. The nice thing, if you walk up, and it's doable, I walked up and down, including with a 10-year-old child, so okay. It's doable. On the first floor, there's a bar and you can have a beer. Don't think about money if you get a beer there, but you can have a beer and a pretzel and sit down and look over Paris and then go up to the second floor and then go down again. So that's rather nice. And directly at the Eiffel Tower, you actually have the River Seine Cruises, which is nice in good weather. It takes like 2 hours or something. Mm. And you could just go once up or down the Seine and see lots of stuff, sit down up there in the sun. So that is also suggested. Several people told us that if you want to go to a museum, you can go to Louvre and look at the Mona Lisa. But admittedly, that's pretty much it.
I've never done it.
You know, it's amazing ceilings and it's lots of art. But you kind of need to understand the art to a certain extent and like maybe you need to get a tour and the Mona Lisa is just a packed room and you can shortly stand in front of the Mona Lisa and then leave again. Mm-hmm. But the Centre Pompidou is supposed to be really nice. So you could go there. The last one that Xavier again suggested is the catacombs,
yeah.
Which is like lots of bones. And that's supposed to be really good. And I confirm that it must be really good because we couldn't even book a ticket 4 weeks in advance because it was booked out. And we went there and thought maybe they let in a few people that come by. Nope. When we went there, they said you can get a ticket and come back in 4 weeks. So you can try. I doubt you'll get in.
I mean, the catacombs for me are such a macabre thing. And to go in and pay money weeks and weeks ahead of time to go down into a labyrinth full of bones, it's just not on my list.
I can understand. Yeah. It's just not on my list. Yeah, but there you have it. You now have restaurants to go to. You know where the parties are. The links are there. You know where the venue is. You know how to get there. You know how to rent bikes. You can get the app beforehand and pre-register so you can get a bike at any time. You know you can't get scooters. You can get Uber. So if you want to get a cab. From my experience, but that was years ago at different conferences, don't expect to get a cab at night. If you go to a party, expect to walk home. At least I had to.
Yeah. I mean, I've always relied with long nights like that, relied on Uber because you can put it in before, you know, you're going to go right to where they need to go. You can tip them afterward. And I mean, walking is always a nice plan if you can.
I had to walk 1.5 hours, like at 1 a.m. at night. Yeah. That was annoying. So it's not nice at that time. Yeah. But just be prepared. I'm just saying, be prepared. Taxis, if you remember, there were lots of like violent things between the taxi union and Uber and that's stuff right. like that. So yeah. I'm like, let's see how the cab thing works. Don't expect too much. Take the metro and look when the last one goes that you need to take.
Exactly. Be prepared.
Be prepared. Yes. So to finish it off, because we're already at our like 30-minute limit, we're a bit over. We talked too much today. I wanted to talk about the bug of the week again. So in the structure of Giant Swarm, we're managing Kubernetes with Kubernetes. Kind of makes sense. We can't tell everybody Kubernetes is the hot new shit. We're managing it with Ansible. That makes no sense. So we're managing Kubernetes with Kubernetes because we think it's the right way to do. That's what all this copy stuff is about. So we've been doing it for 8 years, and now we're moving everything to copy. Expect a lot of announcements around our new copy version. And one of our customers needed a new management cluster because the current one they had was not fully private. The new one is fully private. So we used ClusterCTL, upstream project, the CLI that starts clusters and stuff like that, to move the clusters, which worked well. But days later, when a node tried to join the workload cluster, the encryption key, forgive me if I mumble words a bit, so the encryption key that Kubernetes uses to encrypt secrets, that is used to get the old secrets, didn't work. What we noticed, for anybody that wants to use ClusterCTL to move clusters, you need to move the old encryption key to the new management clusters so that when the new workload cluster starts, the master gets that key and can still distribute further to new nodes, but all the encryption aligns. As we did not move the new encryption key to the management cluster, all older nodes were fine as they could get the secrets that are still in etcd, but the new nodes got a totally different information because the management cluster had a new key, that kind of didn't align and didn't work well. Fixed afterwards, all good. But like, if you can use a cluster CTL and just move a cluster from one management cluster to another one, just need to move a key, and that's the only thing you need to do. Otherwise, that's easily forgotten. And we thought we'd explain to people, and now everybody can complain on Twitter about how I butchered the entire thing of how it works, but I tried to get it right. At least I tried. Yeah,
better you than me.
Better you than me. Exactly. Yeah, I talked to two different people to make sure I got it right. So hopefully I got it correct. And with that, we'll leave you to it. Please, if you listened to this and liked it, please rate us on anything, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podimo, whatever, wherever you find us. Rate us, leave a comment, share this on Twitter, and especially as it's the KubeCon special, if you know anybody that is going to KubeCon, just send them a link. We have links to everything that is important, and they can just listen to it on the train going there and figure out what to do in Paris. And with that, I leave you all, and we finish it off. And thank you, Tommy, for the second podcast. It was a blast.
I'll see you all in Paris.
Oh, yeah. You're going to Paris. Oh, I'm not. So have fun, everybody, at KubeCon. Bye-bye.
Bye.